Rick Campbell joins us once again. Rick, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
I'm doing very well, Rick. It is rare that an expansion team has the opportunity to have a legitimate, proven quarterback. How much easier does that make your job, and maybe how much more expectations do you think your organization has because you know you have a legitimate player at the most important position on the field?
Yeah, well, I know as players and coaches, we expect to win just like every other team. You know, we're not obviously making any bold predictions. We haven't even played a real game yet. But we have enough veteran coaches and enough veteran players that we're going to throw our hat into the ring like everybody else and see what happens.
Yeah, Rick, I mean, it's early in the process, obviously, but I don't think it's out of line to say, look, you can do a lot of things right as a football club. If a team does not have a competent, at the minimum, quarterback, let alone a good one, you've got virtually no chance for success. You've got a good one in Henry Burris.
Yeah, it was big, and that was obviously a huge free agent signing for us. That wasn't even an expansion draft thing, so... that, you know, to be able to get a guy that good in free agency was obviously big for us. And we know that, you know, our room for error is very little. We need to make as many good decisions as we can on players because, you know, we're playing behind everybody else, but we're going to catch up to everybody else, like I said, and play when it comes time to play.
Rick, based on your first preseason game, what area did you like about your team and what are the things you want to see improvement in the second game?
We were organized. You know, we knew what we were doing on the offense, defense, and special teams, and we competed all the way till the end. We had our fourth quarterback in there in the fourth quarter, and we weren't going to deviate from that plan. We took 70 guys to Regina, and we played everybody, and, you know, so did Saskatchewan. It's a game of evaluation, but also the scoreboard's on. You're trying to win the game, and, you know, both teams competed right till the end. We had a few issues on our cover teams, on special teams, but we were rolling through a lot of guys, and it was not an effort issue, which was good. It was more of a coverage lane issue, and, you know, those are the type of things you got to work on in the preseason.
Rick, when you're starting back up as you and the Red Blacks are doing, I think maybe the assumption is there's not that many difficult decisions, but as you said, you don't have a lot of margin for error. So you go into the second game. How many really tough calls are left to make in the cuts that remain?
Well, fortunately, there's going to be a few. There's going to be probably four or five that would determine starting positions, and then a few more beyond that that'll get on the 44 roster, the 44-man roster. And that's good news. If you have easy decisions to make when training camp's over, that usually is not a good thing. Mm-hmm. And so we're fortunate enough that we have enough good football players in camp that some tough decisions are going to have to be made. And like I said, that's a good thing.
Where, without giving away too much in your mind and the rest of the coaching staff, are those tough calls right now?
How tough are they going to be?
No, where are they?
Oh, well, I'm not going to get into too much detail, but there's... I'll say this as a general statement. That one of the things that was appealing to me about why I thought this was a good fit for me, and I know why the players and coaches are excited too, is there were no biases going into camp. There was nobody from last year because we had no last year. So really everyone was getting an equal shot, and that, you know, there was no love affair between a coach and a player who had, mm-hmm. who'd been with him for a few years. So there really are genuinely open competitions. And they're at multiple spots on our roster. That's all I can say about that.
Rick, you've been a coach who probably had a bias before. Do you find, is it better? Are your eyes more open and willing to look at other players because you don't have that personal connection to guys who have gone to battle for you for 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, that was part of it was a pure process for me, in that coming in here, there was no set culture. You weren't fighting anything that had happened in the past. It was all brand new. And the bad news of that is you could be behind other teams that are more established and have been winning a lot of games, you know, in the last few years. But on the flip side, this whole thing is going to be what we make it. That's what I talked to the team about at our mini camp when we first got together was, this is a pretty special deal in pro sports where you got to come in, you got a blank slate, and, you know, the attitude we take towards this and the way we play and how we do things is going to shape the Red Blacks for the future, and that's, I think, a neat thing to be a part of.
Rick Campbell, head coach of the Ottawa Red Blacks, joins Gregor and Brownlee. You have a few Eskimo. Well, you have a few former players from every team, of course. Brandon Lang, how has he looked for you on your D line, and also T.J. Hill in the linebacking corps?
He's been good. Brandon's been doing a good job. He's been working hard. He's a guy that I've never worked with. He came to Edmonton after I did, so I didn't know him. But he's doing real well, and he's in a competition to have a big role on our D line, and part of that'll be determined Friday. And then TJ is just a good football player, as you guys know. He's a guy that comes to work. He's a leader by example, and he's a guy that never misses a rep in practice. He's always working hard, and that's why he's played so long.
Rick, one of the things about getting up and to speed right away, obviously most of it's on the field, but it's front office, it's coaching staff. This is, you're the head guy now, but you've got a lot of people there that you know well, that fans know well. Leroy Blue, Travis Moore, Marcus Crandall, Mark Nelson. How has the transition been, and has it been fairly seamless, all things considered, to get on the same page and move forward with this group?
I know there's always going to be bumps in the road as they come, but it's gone according to plan. And part of when I interviewed for a head job is I wanted to be a head coach, but I didn't want to just interview for every job and hope that one worked out. It had to be something that fit me and I fit the team and all that. And I had a whole plan when I came to interview here. I had all the coaches that I wanted to hire, mm-hmm. all those things, because I never wanted to take a job not knowing who I was going to hire. And so fortunately, all those guys agreed to do that. So that was a huge step in the process. And we actually had our coaching staff solidified and, early in the process, which was big. And so that was a huge step. And then Marcel Desjardins, our GM, as we seem to, we're aligned philosophically. So we're on the same page. So as far as the type of players we want and that, we're working together as a team. So that's been good. And then we know we're going to have to weather some storms. It's tough to win in this league. There's a lot of good teams. And like I said, we're going to have to do as many things right as possible to give ourselves the best chance.
Rick, you essentially start the season four games on the road. I know you were the home team in Saskatchewan, technically, but obviously it was a road game. Yeah. You're in Montreal. Then you're in Winnipeg and Edmonton to start the season. How much of a concern is that for you, being on the road that long and not having a home game and having guys maybe get more comfortable?
Yeah, we knew that was happening from the start. That's why we took the bye week and we requested the first bye week, which usually no one wants it, but we wanted it just to break that up. And we actually haven't even moved in our stadium yet. We're going to move in this week, and
okay.
That was part of the bye week thing. So we knew that all was coming. It wasn't a surprise. So it does make it tough. The thing I've liked about our players is they're kind of relishing the role of the underdog and the obstacles that are in front of us, and we know it's going to be a challenge and it's going to be hard, but they're willing to rise to the occasion, and we're going to try to pull a few out if we can do it.
Rick, you spent so much time here, a football hotbed. We know that history. Down the road, where there's been a lot of success and a lot of great moments as well. Hey, Ottawa's been there as well, but the last decade, in and out, up and down, when you did get back. Now I look on the website, 30 days, 19 minutes, 51 seconds till kickoff countdown. The opener sold out. There's got to be quite a buzz in town. That's sort of a breath of fresh air for everybody there, isn't it?
Yeah, when I came out here to interview, I didn't really know much. I'm not an Ottawa guy. I've always lived in the West.
Yep.
And from the very start, you could feel a genuine buzz about football in Ottawa. It wasn't a marketing ploy or anything like that. And I think the biggest difference was that all the owners are local. And they worked on that stadium thing for 5 or 6 years to get all that stuff done. So they're guys that are in it for the long haul and for the right reasons. They're not flash in the pan owners. They're local guys that want to do it right. And I think that's trickled down into everything we do as an organization. And then I think in the city too, as people recognize that. And, to have the first game sold out already, like you said, and I know multiple other ones are getting close. It's a real vibe. And then the, the stadium, if you guys ever have a chance to come out here, it's cool. It's different than any other CFL stadium. It sits right in a little community, and there's going to be a bunch of restaurants and condos and shops around it. So, you know, they've really made it a destination to go in town.
Rick, you've been a coordinator for many years in the CFL. You've coached offense and defensive sides of the ball as a position guy. Now you're the head coach. There's a lot more time management. What's been the biggest challenge for you as a head coach, and how much do you lean on your dad, a guy who's gone through that?
You're managing a larger group of people, and you never know until you have to do it. As you guys know, in any job that you do, the first time you do it, there's always things that come up. I just tried to rely on the experiences I've had and all the people I've worked with, and I've just been tried to be as prepared as I can and try to anticipate what's coming down the line, whether that's a day ahead, a week ahead, a month ahead. And if you do that, that definitely helps. And then I knew that I had to surround myself with the best possible people. And if you do that, you definitely got a chance to. And as far as my dad goes, he's kind of retired. But we talk once in a while, but he promised my mom when he was done with football, he'd be done with football. So he's more of a fan now. But the biggest thing I learned from him was not just football, but just about how to treat people.
Yeah.
and try to do things the right way and make people feel a part of it and be a part of a family, and that's what we're trying to do here.
Now, he's done for football for sure, but as parents, it doesn't matter how old their son is, they're still your parents. Something tells me your dad and your mom equally will be rather proud when their son coaches his first game, so they likely will be watching. Do you expect feedback throughout the year from either one of them?
Yeah, what are you doing? I think any parent's happy when any of their kids are employed. So that's step one. So that's good.
Yeah.
So he'll be rooting for me on that front. Now he's a football guy his whole life, and he watches football all the time, whether it's going to be Ottawa games or other CFL games or NFL or college. So, there'll be good questions to ask him once in a while, but he's really stepped back and enjoying life with my mom and all that. So, it's all good right now, but we'll see how it goes.
Rick, you've got one game under your belt. You have another before you're playing for points. What is the message you've tried to impress on the staff and on the players and that you want them to carry out through the tunnel for that opening kickoff? Is there sort of an overall message, a way you want to play, something that you believe in that you've really tried to impress on the staff of this franchise?
Well, one was from the start is we needed to make every minute in the meeting room and the practice field count, because like I said, we're behind other teams as far as our chemistry and all that.
Yep.
And so we needed to develop that and not, you know, make an excuse that we're new. So and no one has done that. We've been trying to grow as fast as we can grow, and that they understand that it's very hard to win in the CFL. Even the teams that win the Grey Cup, look back at the last couple of years in the playoff games and all that, is you have to do a lot of things right to win football games. Mm-hmm. And I think our guys understand that we have to be at our best and know what we're doing on the field to give ourselves a chance to win. And that this last preseason game came down to the last drive, and I think that's a good reminder for our guys that most games in pro football are going to be close. There you have a blowout once in a while, but most games are going to be close, and we have to be guys that find a way to try to win it in the fourth quarter.
Rick, always good to talk to you. Best of luck. Continued success.
Thank you very much. Have a good one, guys.